heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, so glad to be with you again. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. I hope that our listeners find this show inspirational in some way, anyway, either something that challenges you or that consoles you, so that brings the presence of God to you in some way. And that does indeed, as our intro says, help us to practice the Catholic faith, maybe just a little bit better each and every week. That's what we should aim at, right? Just growing in our relationship with the Lord just a little bit each week. And that's pretty similar. That ties directly into our readings for this weekend, the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, as we're coming in on that. It's all about shepherds, folks. All about shepherds. What do you know about shepherds? Well, I must say that since I have moved to a rural environment, I know pretty much nothing still about shepherds. I've become a little bit more familiar with cows, but not really with sheep at all. So, I don't have a lot to share in that way. But our gospel lesson for this weekend, for this Sunday, from Mark chapter 6, that is a situation that I could probably, I can relate to a little bit more. So, here's what's going on, is that Jesus and the apostles are together, and they're talking about everything that has recently gone on, and it says that, you know, people are coming and going in great numbers. There's multitudes that need tending to, right? And so Jesus says to his apostles, he says, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Take that in for a moment. Have you ever heard the Lord say to you, come away with me and rest? Don't forget, I think sometimes in this day and age it is rather easy to forget that we think that work is the most important thing, and the more we can show that we're working, the more value we have as a human being. Don't forget that our Lord himself designed human existence, in fact, designed the order of the cosmos so that rest was a needed part of it. I mean, we have the daily cycle of darkness and light. We have sleep and rest, as well as awake and productivity time. But we also have the whole concept of Sabbath. And the Lord does indeed invite us to rest. In fact, when we please God, meet him face to face, that is when we enter into eternal rest, right? There is something about rest that is absolutely necessary to our practicing of the Catholic faith. So Jesus here in this episode is inviting the apostles away to rest. And it says the apostles were so busy that they had no opportunity even to eat. I'm guessing that you probably have been in this sort of situation in your life at some point, right? Where you've been so busy, so swamped with things, that it seems like that if you even thought about how exhausted you actually were, even for that short amount of time, that would undo it all. So you can't even think about how exhausted you are. You just have to press on. That's sort of, as I imagine it anyway, that's sort of what Jesus and his apostles were facing at this point. So, Scripture says, they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. And then, of course, the people find out about it. They saw him leaving. They say, I know where he's going. So they make their way over there on foot around the lake, and they beat him to it. So imagine, if you will, you pulling up to this so-called deserted place, and it's filled with people. So it reminds me of a quote by Yogi Berra, right? It says, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. Yeah, that's what it seems like to me, too. St. Mark kind of preempted good old brother Yogi here in this one. As he says, they went away to a deserted place that was filled with people. But here's the thing. Jesus gets out of the boat. He looks at the vast crowd, and his heart was moved with pity for them. Even in the midst of suffering complete exhaustion, even in the midst of not even having an opportunity to eat and to refuel in that way, even in the midst of having given of himself for hours, days on end, he is met with, and if I may say so, even in the midst of this interruption, when promised rest was just about to occur, his heart is moved with pity, and that directs his action. He acts in a charitable way toward them. It says, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. He didn't explode, didn't blow up, didn't send them off on their own. Well, there's an ability that Jesus has to see into the depths of people. Now, we might not have the ability to read souls, but here's what we can do. We can mentally put ourselves in the place of the other. We can give them the benefit of the doubt, something surprisingly rare in this day and age. We can be gracious. We can be charitable. We can, as St. Paul put in his letter to the Philippians, consider others better than ourselves. And this is part of what it means to be a practicing Catholic. Got a great show coming up for us today, as always. First, the call of God sometimes coincides with the call of the wild. And we hear the still, small voice of God in the midst of the great outdoors. Jen Messing and Caitlin Philbrand are with us to talk about how the Frassati Society of Minnesota helps young adults meet with God while exploring the wonders of creation. Next, one of the most precious things a teenager can give away is a week of summer vacation. But that's exactly what teens across the country are doing as they participate in a Catholic Heart Work Camp. We'll hear from Kelly Nas and Steve Walker on what these generous teens are doing with their time. And finally, turning over our lives to God is a tall order, even for mature Christians. It takes intentionality and discipline. Surrendering to our Lord is the theme of an upcoming summer speaker series put on by the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office. We're going to be speaking with the first speaker of that series, Bishop Peter Smith, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Portland, Oregon. That's what the show has for us today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, offering it over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's no secret that time out in God's creation can help hone our sense of God's presence and hear his still, small voice. The Frassati Society of Minnesota is dedicated to helping young adults explore the outdoors while connecting with one another and listening for God. Here to talk about their ongoing ministry are Jen Messing, the co-founder and past outdoor chair and president of the Frassati Society of Minnesota, and Caitlin Philbrant, the current president. Welcome, Jen and Caitlin.
Hello.
Hello.
It's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us. Well, let's start out with just a bit about what the Frassati Society is. So, Jen, why don't you tackle that one?
Sure. It has been a pleasure to watch it grow over 15 years. We started it back in 2002 as a way to basically follow in the footsteps of Blessed Pier Giorgio. His pastimes included things like hiking and rock climbing, but also serving the poor, adoring Jesus in the Eucharist, getting out and playing sports, going to museums, opera, cultural things. He was a prankster. He had just a very diverse backdrop of the things he liked to do. And so we decided that it would be a fun way to draw friendship out of the people around us, but also just trying to find camaraderie as far as the other single young adults that were around us, trying to connect via some activity and to infuse that time with prayer, because we recognized that our faith was important to us and it was very enjoyable to not only do the things in the outdoors or the other things I listed, but also to find people of common faith. And so it became a way for us to connect on multiple levels, and it ended up creating camaraderie in a pretty cool way, because we drew people from all over the diocese. And I'm speaking of when we first started, and I do think that's probably still true. Caitlin can speak to that, but we found that it was people of all walks of life, people that are in college, out of college, 20s, 30s. Sometimes some of us lingered into our 40s because we didn't have an official cutoff date, but we kind of told ourselves, like, you know, we'll phase out eventually, kind of thing. But it was camaraderie that never made that awkward. And so it was very interesting, because we would find that people would sign up for things and we'd think, gosh, this is a really random group of people. And then you would find this very common ground of faith and laughter and good conversation that sprung from enjoying the same things that Pier Giorgio did, and also integrating that whole time together with prayer and such. And so, anywho, that was kind of the start of it, was really just like, hey, we want to go do stuff in the outdoors, and maybe there's other people that want to do stuff in the outdoors. And we started advertising it, and it morphed into a lot more. And I think the beauty of it is, because it was founded on prayer and not just being something that was not that there's anything wrong with a parish-based young adult group, but because young adults are so transient and so fickle with their realities of things, they can shift around and, you know, change of lifestyle and whatever. I think because of being grounded in prayer and being open to whoever from around the Twin Cities, it kept it going all this time. So that's kind of an intro there, I suppose. But
great. Yeah. Thank you, Jen. Caitlin, let me ask you, how did you come to be involved with the Frassati Society?
I became involved with the Frassati Society when I moved to the Twin Cities, and I was looking for young adult Catholic things to do and to get involved with other people. I actually did look on to the Archdiocese website for different events, and there was a Frassati night that I first attended. I initially didn't know what that meant, but it sounded like a fun time, and we went to adoration and then out to a pub. And after that, I fell in love with the outdoors and events that the Frassati Society put on.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. And I just the very idea of being able to appeal to getting, you know, the great outdoors as a place and a way for young adults to really encounter one another, but also encounter God there too. I'm wondering, Jen, we'll go back to you on this one. When you do have your outdoor events, whatever it might be, is there kind of a scheduled programmatic way about the events? Do you have certain things that you know you're going to be talking about? Or is it more, let's just get out there and see what happens? Or somewhere in between?
That's a great question, actually, because of the fact that when we started the Frassati Society, there were, obviously I'm a co-founder, so Anne Brahm and I started it based on what we witnessed through her older brother, Peter, who started one in Denver. And really, there was a baseline of thinking, okay, we're a bunch of young adults, a bunch of independent people. We're not used to having to think about other people, and maybe we should be thinking about other people. So we started creating sort of a atmosphere where we would tell people, you know, we're going to operate like a family. We're not going to just go off and do our own thing, though we will have time to just, you know, be on our own if we want. But, like, we would have part of the day, like, say if we were gone for a weekend camping trip, we would start out with something that was all together, and then we would start maybe with a rosary hike, and then people would just chat through the rest of the time, and then maybe the afternoon would be just chill, hang out for, you know, do whatever, if you want to go hiking further or if you want to just chill. And then around the fire, it was always very organic conversation, and I think that was something that we noticed was an earmark of our gatherings, was that the conversation and the humor was so natural with people from such diverse, you know, work backgrounds and ages and whatever. And so we just started to literally pray for good conversation and humor, because we didn't want to take advantage or take for granted that that would just happen naturally every time. Mm-hmm. And it did seem like that was a bit of a charism, if you will, of the group, was just that this camaraderie would happen. And if you see pictures of Pier Giorgio, you know, his laughter and surrounded by friends and whatever, and it just seems like his presence was very real. And so we wanted to allow him to teach us how to live our faith in everyday life. And that became some of our conversation would then surround, like, who is Pier Giorgio and why do we follow in his footsteps and how do we operate? You know, we basically decided that when we would plan events, we would just plan something we really wanted to do. And then we'd invite people to join us. And it didn't matter if it was 3 people or 10 people or 20 people. It was just, who wants to come along? We're going to do this anyway, you know? So, I do think that there's the camaraderie and friendship and laughter paired with allowing people to have some time alone with God, but also pushing them a little bit to be acting like a family and not just be like, okay, I'm going to bring my own food and have my little own meal over here. It's like, nope, we're actually going to chip in to the bucket and everybody's going to pay in and we're going to make meals together. We're going to stop and wait for everybody and we're going to pray together, and we're, you know, like attempting on some level to have some coherence so that people would think about what it means to be a community rather than just an independent young adult. So,
right. Well, it sounds good. It sounds very intriguing. So, Caitlin, what have you got coming up? What kind of events have you got coming up here in the remainder of the summer of 2021?
So we recently wrapped up a Catholic Bible study on Revelation through Ascension Press. And we will be beginning another one through Ascension Press called A Journey Through Church History, which will run from July 29th to December 23rd, meeting once a week in person. And then we do have a Frasati night, which is our spiritual aspect of our group that we plan events on and around. And that is July 27th. And we go out to adoration from 7 to 8 and followed by fellowship at Alloy Brewing Company. So that's a time where we can meet and socialize and get to know one another. The next trip that we have is in an outdoors event. We are going to the Boundary Waters from July 30th to Saturday, August 7th.
Wow.
And this is going to be quite the trip. Every year, we typically will do a week-long camping trip. And this is another aspect of our group, as Jen mentioned, that if people don't necessarily have those friends that want to plan trips outdoors and go faraway places, or they don't have equipment, we're able to provide that for them and the food, and sometimes borrow gear from friends or even from Jen too. So we will be planning more events as the time comes up after this season or 18 months of COVID holding us back.
Sure, right. Well, thank you, Caitlin. Yeah, there's a lot in store, it sounds like, and I'm sure even more on the way, but that Boundary Waters trip sounds pretty amazing. I mean, I think that's a great idea, great way of getting people out and together. And I would imagine, I've been on camping trips. I must say, I've never been to the Boundary Waters on a canoe trip, but I will say that even on the camping trips I've been at, yeah, there's a sense of dependence, interdependence. So I would count that as a good thing on one another when you get out in the wilderness. And there's definitely seeds of that anyway with these sorts of trips. So Jen, let me go back to you and ask if people are interested in one of these events or just getting involved in general in the Frasati Society, what's the best way for them to go about that?
There is a website, the Frasati Society. Well, actually, sorry, just spell out Frasati, first of all, Frasati,
right.
SocietyMN.org is the website. And people should know it's not an official society where you, like, sign up for membership. It's just because Pier Giorgio used the term Pipiloski Society, whatever that was in Italian. It was basically the Shady Characters Society was how he referred to his friends tongue-in-cheek. And so we used the phrase Frassati Society is used in multiple places around the world. There's no like formal society. They just kind of pop up wherever, but that's where ours has MN at the end. So FrassatiSocietyMN.org. And then if you go on Facebook, it's actually MN, so Minnesota Frassati Society. And there is a monthly newsletter that they send out via email, and that's, there's a contact form on the website, but you can also do info@frassatimn.org. So again, it's FrassatiMN. So spelling Frassati is sometimes the trip up factor, but there you have it. So,
right, exactly. Okay. Actually, wonderful. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you
and
both.
Then
thank
also
you.
There yeah, is please. Website we post our events to, which is www.mspcatholic.com. And this is a website where all the young adult Catholic groups in the area can post events and get to know what is out there for to meet people.
Yeah, wonderful. All right. Yeah, mspcatholic.com or FrassatiSocietyMN.org. Well, Jen and Caitlin, thank you for joining us on the program. God bless. It sounds like a lot of fun, and I hope a lot of people get involved and sign up and continue on the tradition of Pier Giorgio Frassati. Thanks for being on the show, ladies.
Beautiful. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Okay, we're off into our first break, but don't go anywhere. When we return, Catholic teens are working this summer, but instead of doing it to make money, they're doing it to serve the Lord and others. Hear all about it right after this. Stay with us.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio.
I rely on your show daily. I want you to know really, really appreciate it. Well, it helps me a lot.
Father Simon Says.
Have a question?
I know Catholics don't believe about the rapture, but what do we believe about the end times?
We believe in the parousia.
Father Simon Says.
What I like about your explanations is it gives me great reason to go back and listen to the podcast 3 or 4 times to really, really understand it.
It helps.
Concentrated. And I need
it's,
to,
yes, rather, I talk fast, yes.
Oh, it's wonderful stuff.
The Reverend Know-It-All, Father Richard Simon.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, good. Father.
What can I do for you?
God bless you, and you make me laugh all the time.
If you don't laugh, you cry.
Father Simon Says.
Enough with the kvetching.
Father Simon Says, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Talk to you tomorrow. I am off like a cheap toupee.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. I always get a chuckle when I hear Father Simon say that. Anyway, next up, you will work tirelessly, think deeply, celebrate Mass, and build relationships. You will dance, laugh till your side hurts, pray, change on the inside, and be a part of transforming lives and communities for Christ. All of that is the promise of Catholic Heart Work Camp. Here to tell us more are Kelly Nosler, Public Relations and Director of Summer Staff, and Steve Walker, President and CEO. Welcome, Kelly and Steve.
Hey, great. Welcome. Thank you very much for having us.
Great to have you both with us. It's exciting to talk about this. I'm excited to hear how teens are giving up a week of their summer to serve the Lord. Steve, though, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about what Catholic Heart Work Camp is and how it came about.
Well, when I was a youth minister back in the day, we would always try to activate and get our kids involved and whatever it took. And we found that the summers were a good time to get away for a week. So we had gone to some other camps, some Protestant camps in Steubenville and whatnot, whatever was available. And we found that the kids really were committed to that more than a weekly, week youth group. So we went to a Protestant work camp, and I thought, well, we'll give it a shot. We took kids, about 40 kids, and we came back and we said, okay, well, here we have 3 choices for next year. And without any hesitation, they all wanted the service camp where we slept in classrooms on the floor and worked our tails off all day and sweat. And they loved it. And it was like, okay, well, that's customers are teenagers and they're wanting to serve. So that's what we're going to do. So it didn't have a Catholic element. So I thought, boy, if we could have Mass and some other Catholic theology, this could really be a winner. So it took off.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, it's and how many, Steve, how many camps do you have going, say, this summer?
Well, this summer with COVID, we were lucky to get off the ground and get 14.
Okay.
In the past, though, our years, you know, a couple before COVID, we were up to 40 and 9,000 kids. But with COVID, we're down to about 3,500.
Sure. So. Sure. Well, that's understandable. Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So Kelly's been doing a lot of talking with priests and youth ministers and troubleshooting and staff. And because we have a full fledged 10-person, 9-person staff of college kids. We call it the greatest dating site available for Catholic young adults, because we've had a lot of marriages come from it, but they worked their tails off, and it's a great ministry for them. They love it. They don't like date weeks off. They're week 5-6 weeks during the summer, and that's been really great.
That is, and yeah, Kelly, I wanted to hear. It sounds like, especially coming back after COVID and everything, as public relations and director of summer staff, I'll bet you have your work cut out for you. Give us a sense of what it's been like trying to rebuild the camps after COVID.
Absolutely. With a lot of prayer and just kind of God's leading, we've been able to get off the ground this summer. And Steve and I are both in different cities right now operating our camps. And it has been such a joy to talk to youth ministers who have told me firsthand that not only just them as adults have wanted to kind of get their hands dirty and get back in community service, but more so the teens that have been asking, you know, what can we do as a group? When can we do something as a group? And so having this available for them this summer and being able to watch the interaction in the communities. I'm in Nashville currently, and we have some really awesome work projects. Yesterday was our first day, and we actually had three groups. So that's teams of about 7 to 10 youth with their leaders finish their project all in a day that were supposed to be, you know, 3-day projects. So they are really eager, and the sense of fellowship that's here at the camp is just amazing. Just, you know, we had that taken away from us briefly through the COVID pandemic, and it really, I think, instilled a sense of longing for community in general.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly in the interviews that we've had, that seems to be a huge want, a huge desire, especially kind of the younger you get, the more you desire that, it seems. Like there's been a lot of people, young adults and teens, who are just itching so much to get back in fellowship with
one another. Well, just think as you as a teenager, you get out, you're not sitting at a desk, you're out there serving, living your faith, and you're having fun, you're having a blast, you're laughing, you're with other kids, and you have faith and the Eucharist and confession and adoration sprinkled into that. It's a nice package, I think, for teenagers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyways. Well, as long as you're on a roll there, Steve, with that, kind of give us an idea of what is a day at Catholic Heart Work Camp? What does a typical day look like, if there is such a thing as a typical day?
Yeah, there is. And actually, they get up really early. Again, I'm amazed. I go and I'm going, really? You guys are fine with getting up at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and you know, and then we have mass every morning, and then we have a college student testimony of maybe 10 minutes or so, and then they get on their vehicles, and off they go for 6 hours, from 9 to 3, and they work, and we come out, take pictures, and then they come back, and we have them, you know, shower, rotate, and you know, stand in line. And the great thing about a mission trip is you can call it a mission trip and say it's not the Hilton. So nobody's going to be turning your bed or putting little mints on your bed. You're going to be on sleeping bags, you know, and on the floor. And then we have programs which are really well thought out throughout the year. And they get really inspired and they hear messages. And a theme this week is I am. So I am the way, I am the bread, I am the good shepherd, I am the light. And they love it. The organization, I think, is key. If you're going to work with teenagers, you got to have quick and organized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's kind of what we do.
Right.
So
Kelly, let me ask you. So obviously, if we're having mass each day and everything, you're enlisting priests to help out. Are these local priests that are wherever you are, or is it one priest for the week? How does that work?
Yeah, we have an amazing network of chaplains who actually travel with us and give up their time. Most of them serve 1 week throughout the summer, so I schedule that beforehand at camp. And then while we're here at the facility, there's actually campers who travel with their youth group that are priests. So they are very much priests, but they come as campers, and they are in complete solidarity, eating with the students, playing games with the students, and then celebrating Mass as well. So we have one lead camp chaplain that we staff beforehand, and they serve with our staff, our college students, which is beautiful. They'll be the main celebrant, and then other priests who contact us throughout the year and attend with their parish. So it's beautiful because actually it's very rare that a local priest will be with us all week, but we do invite priests from a local diocese to hear confession on Wednesdays, every Wednesday, which is awesome, a way for them to step into their own community and see what's happening.
And sure. The priests love it because they get to be themselves, you know, and they get to have fun. And a lot of them, too, you know, get some out of the rectory. In fact, here in Indiana, where I'm at, they have a priest here who came from Louisville, drove from Louisville with his truck and the tractor on his rear end.
No way, really.
He mows people's lawns. He goes through these big farm fields, and he loves it. He said, "I'm happier than anyone else in this place. It's like this is my second calling."
So good.
They love it too.
Yeah. What a great thing. Well, so I'm curious too, Kelly. Maybe I'll bounce back to you on this one too. I assume most of the kids who attend these camps are from the diocese or archdiocese in which the camp is occurring, or do people sometimes drive quite a ways to come and be part of these camps?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. It's funny because yesterday at our evening meeting with our adults, we asked that question. Is anybody from Nashville? Nobody raised their hand. And
really?
And then we took it a step further. Is anyone from Tennessee? And nobody. There was one gentleman who was actually born in the state. Yeah. So the beauty, and you know, it's very hard to track this on the front end of our organization as groups are registering. We just never know where youth groups in the country want to be, where they're coming from, what their budget is for vehicles. But lo and behold, even with COVID, even with the pandemic, they have been traveling miles and miles, states away from us. So
wow.
We have people here. I'm in Tennessee. We have people from Michigan, Illinois, Kansas, Oklahoma. It's amazing. It really, really serves as their U.S. mission trip. So they want to travel outside of the state. That's one thing that we have been able to.
Well, wouldn't you agree, Kelly, that one of their the reasons they can't wait to go to camp is because of the adventure and the traveling.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they stop along the way, and then they get a free day, and you know that they enjoy, you know, traveling. It's like, okay, I'll fly.
You brought this up, Steve, so I'll ask you about it. I saw on your website about this free day. Tell us a little bit. What do you mean by free day? What do groups do on their free days?
Well, probably Nashville would be a good example of the different things that they could do there, right, Kelly?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They have a lot of programs there and amusement places and fun places to go to, or, you know, swimming or rafting, or if they want to be inside. So there's plenty to do in cities. And that's some of the reasons why they go to the places they do. Here in Indianapolis, they can either go to Louisville or in Indianapolis and have an adventure at a water park or such. And again, they love it. I mean, of course, being the owner, I've got to brag on it. Of course, you know, you brag about your own kids, but
sure.
I'm telling you, the combination of all of that, you know, really works. And we actually have one up there in the Twin Cities at Holy Family Church as well.
That's right.
Pretty cool.
Well, I think, Kelly, you may have answered my question on this already, but it's actually coming up just next week, this coming week, July 18th through 24th, based at Holy Family Catholic High School there in Victoria, Catholic Heart Work Camp. And, you know, I'm intrigued about, you know, if campers can still register for this even at the late date or if, it sounds like that even if they can't, or even if they don't have time to think about it in such short notice, that sounds like a bunch of them are taking the opportunity to travel a little bit themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the best thing to do sometimes is when you're a small group or a new group, I think our website and all this information can seem overwhelming. Where do I start? How do I even get this going? And our staff in-house is so great. We actually take personal phone calls constantly, just teaching people about the registration process. And you do not have to have a big group. So right here again, my example in Nashville, where I'm at, we have groups of 5 people, and then we have groups of 35, 50 people. So if someone wants to travel, you know, like right where you are, and, you know, there's one within an hour or two distance, you can definitely, that first year, kind of dip your toe in and come see what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
And I think teenagers really like it because a little bit of our motto is it's a sin to bore a kid. Meaning, if kids are bored and they're sitting around and they're twiddling, they're going to go to their phone. But if they're engaged and they're having fun and they're involved, a little bit of an entertainment aspect of it, then they're all in. Like, okay, this was cool. I like this, you know. So.
Right, right. Well, Steve, we only got a couple minutes left, but I did want to ask, one of the things that I don't know that we've talked about a lot is just what kind of work these kids are doing for their 6 hours a day from 9 to 3. What are they doing?
They're doing everything. They're painting, they're putting ramps up, they're cleaning, they're visiting with widow people. Sometimes the person at the house just wants them to sit in their living room and chat. Landscaping, kids, they have the ability to do. So it's nothing that's over their head. Habitat for Humanity, clothing centers, homeless shelters, whatever the city has to offer, we're here to help. And so I think a variety of projects really, you know, is interesting too for the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, that's very helpful. And then finally, let's go over, Kelly, I'll go back to you with this one. Let's go over one more time about just how people should get in touch with you if they're interested in learning more about this summer and the week coming up in Victoria here, July 18th through 24th, or maybe looking ahead to next summer. How can they stay in touch with Catholic Heart Work Camp?
Absolutely. We are on all social platforms, so simply putting in our name, Catholic Heart Work Camp, will definitely bring up the successful searches so you can connect with us and see what's going on all year. And then our home office can be contacted at info@heartworkcamp.com. But again, the best way to do it is just go straight to Google, put in Catholic Heart Work Camp, and you'll have a variety of ways to reach us. And we're always ready to talk to new people. Like I said, we build relationships, and I think that's what keeps us going and growing every single year.
Fantastic. Well, Kelly Na, Steve Walker, we thank you so much for all the good work that you're doing for the Lord and His kingdom, and we thank you for joining us on the program today. God
thank
bless you. Thank you,
and you are a great interviewer. You know the right question to ask, so kudos to you when you're doing to spread the gospel, Patrick.
All right. Well, thank you, and God bless. Take care.
All right. God bless.
Bye. Bye-bye. And to all our listeners, I got to say, I got to give a nod to our producer, Cammy, who's always on top of things with some great questions as well. So we do kind of a partnership on that. All right, let's go into our second break. When we come back, we'll talk Surrendering to Jesus with Bishop Peter Smith of Portland, Oregon. All that's coming up right after the short break. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people, you talk about your faith, you share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Keeping you plugged in.
The Drew Mariani Show.
The latest news and the issues of the day from a moral perspective through the eyes of our faith.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
The Drew Mariani Show, weekdays at 2 Central on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Refume, our producer, Paul Sonic, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Well, here's a question for you. How are you at surrendering to our Lord? It's never an easy task, but something we need to commit ourselves to pursuing. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office has an upcoming summer speaker series addressing the topic of surrendering to Jesus. Joining us now is the first speaker in the series, Bishop Peter Smith, who has served as the Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Portland and Oregon since 2014. Your Excellency, thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Blessings to you, Patrick. Good to be with you. And blessings to all those who are listening in on Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio. Thank you for your support for Catholic media in the United States.
Wonderful. Yes, thank you for that. That was wonderful. So why don't you start out, Bishop, if you would, by telling us about your role in the Catholic Charismatics Renewal Office, specifically about the speaker series. How did you become involved in the series?
Well, for some years, I was the liaison for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the Archdiocese of Portland, where I'm stationed. That's Portland, Oregon, home of all the stuff you see on the media, or at least until recently.
Mm.
And as a result of that, I ended up being appointed to a group called CARIS, which is a new entity brought about by Pope Francis through the Dicastery of Laity, Marriage, and Life. To provide a sort of umbrella leadership for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal worldwide. And as a result of that, normally I keep a low profile, but once you get put on something like that, it's no more low profile. So I've been asked in a number of places to do interviews and talks and things like this. So that's how I got connected with the CCRO. The other thing is, I lived in Minneapolis, St. Paul for 6 years before I moved
out
to Oregon in 1996 to enter the seminary here. Yeah. So
wow.
I lived there. I was a member of, I think it was Visitation Parish in South Minneapolis, and then also St. Mark's Parish before that, St. Mark's right next to the University of St. Thomas.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends in the Twin Cities.
Oh, wonderful. Well, it's good to be speaking with a friend. I wasn't aware of that, but it's good that you shared. And I should, as long as we're on the personal info here, well, I'll let you tell them. I have it here in your bio information, but people are going to be obviously hearing in that bit of a non-Minnesotan, maybe even American accent that you're carrying there. Where does that accent come from, Your Excellency?
I was born and raised in South Africa, the country in the bottom end of Africa, Nelson Mandela and so on. So born and raised in South Africa and completed my college education there. And got involved in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal there as a student and ended up coming to the United States for a year, supposedly, to visit some lay movements and communities here. And that was that, as they say. That was in 1983, and I've been here pretty much ever since. I joined one of those lay movements, community, and after about a year became a brother and have lived as a brother ever since. In fact, I still do. I still live with two priests and three brothers from my community in a community house here in Portland.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Well, great. I am so grateful that the Lord has sought to lead you in that way. And I'm sure the Diocese of Portland, the Archdiocese of Portland, is also very, very thankful as well. So let's go back to the speaker series. Now, the theme we know is surrendering to our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that going to be the focus of your talk, Your Excellency, or are you going to be, and how are you going to approach that, if I may ask?
Yeah, that's what I was asked to do by Sister Mary Ann, so that's fine. That's what I've done. I've written a short article on it for the Pentecost Today magazine. But essentially, the focus of the talk will be something like this. When we think of surrender in a sort of human level, we think of defeat, giving up, no hope, and so on. But the Catholic and Christian notion of surrender is quite different. It's something that those circumstances may be part of it, but it's much more expansive and much more positive than that, because in one sense, surrendering oneself means ultimately recognizing something far greater than ourselves or someone far greater than ourselves. And when we talk about surrendering to Jesus Christ, we say it doesn't matter how strong or weak we are, how successful or unsuccessful we are, when we recognize that Christ is so much greater than we are, then that act of surrender is not a negative thing or a last-ditch thing. It's a positive thing. It's a proactive thing. And so reconfiguring our understanding of what it means to surrender. And in our own lives, in our human lives, in our lives of faith, we see that. You know, so, for example, I mean, I do weddings, and I love doing weddings. I have a lot of fun at weddings. But weddings, I often tell the couples, is this is a wonderful act of freedom. And they all look at me like I've got several heads on my shoulders. But when you make that commitment, when you marry somebody and you make that commitment, that's a stunning act of freedom that frees you completely to love, to serve, to give of yourself. And so in a sense, that commitment, that surrender, cuts off everything else. So now you're all in. And when you're all in, that's when you can give 100%. The same thing's true for us in religious life. It's only when we're all in that we're completely free and we can give 100% and love, serve, give, make sacrifices to the degree that God calls us to. And that's what surrendering does. So a couple, when they get married, or an individual making a religious commitment, they in effect surrender their lives, in the case of a couple, to each other. In the case of the individual making a religious commitment, or a priest, you surrender your life to God and the people of God. So this is something that is far, far more expansive and far, far more positive and creative than just saying, I give up.
It sounds like it is. It's a positive move. It's a move into, as you're saying, freedom to give all and to enjoy that freedom of being all in and not being distracted. But yet, I have to ask, Bishop. I mean, I don't think anybody's a stranger to the fact that surrendering ourselves to our Lord or anything else, quite frankly, it's hard. It's a difficult thing. And so any insights as to what makes it so difficult, especially in terms of our own spiritual lives, why is it so difficult to turn our lives over to the Lord?
I think part of it is fear and letting go completely for the Lord. And our human instinct is self-protection. And so we want to hold on and protect these things and organize life around ourselves so that it provides us some sort of security, some sort of serenity, some sort of manageability. And we always try to do that with our lives, no matter what our faith level of faith is. And with the Lord, that's also a challenge. And you see it with the disciples. This is a journey, a process that goes through life. And the test is, are we moving ahead? Are we succeeding? Are we making progress in that? Are we becoming more and more open to the Lord and more willing to serve and to make those kind of commitments as we go along? And that's where we see God's great mercy for us. That for us, God doesn't require it suddenly, okay, we've made this decision and now we're going 100% to the limit of what I'm asking of you. God walks with us through life. God accompanies us and invites us to be part of what he's doing, and he works with us. You know, it's one of those things where I think, you know, we each look at our lives and the imperfection and the sin and these things in our lives. It's very fortunate for us that God in his mercy doesn't try and deal with them all at once.
Right.
You know, the Lord takes us through these things, and we sort of move ahead. And that's a wonderful sign of his mercy and kindness, generosity for us in those moments as he moves us ahead. And part of that is because God respects our freedom. God gave us freedom from the beginning. He does not overwhelm. He does not dominate. He does not force us. It's like a wonderful friend who wants the best for us, but will allow us to keep our freedom in making those choices, even when he knows what is good for us. And sometimes we make choices to say, not quite sure yet.
Right.
You see it in the disciples. Jesus is called the disciples, that he calls them, and you know, you look at why did the disciples leave their fishing nets and their customs post? Because they saw Jesus. They must have had some earlier knowledge of him. But they saw something in Jesus that was far greater. And so they said, we'll give up all this other, all these other things to come and follow Jesus. But he also invited the rich young man to do that. And the rich young man, he invited him to let go of the one thing that was holding him back, and he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus doesn't condemn him. Jesus is sad because of what could have been. And you don't know what the Lord tried to do in his life later on. But the Lord doesn't give up on us either. So that's also great hope and great consolation for us. But it is a struggle.
Right.
The Lord invites us to surrender these things bit by bit, or to let go of these things bit by bit in our lives. And it takes a while.
Right. But what a blessing it is that the Lord does not give up on us. Speaking of blessings, Your Excellency, I know that you are needing to get in to celebrate Mass here shortly. So I tell you what, if you'll offer us an on-air blessing, we'll let you go, and then I'll hit all the specifics about these the speaker series that's coming up after we let you go. So could we have your blessing, please, Bishop?
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And with
May
your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you now and forever. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bishop Peter Smith of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon, so grateful that you could be with us. Thank you, Your Excellency.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come on in and be part of the great work you're doing to present the faith through Catholic radio.
Amen. We are all about that. So, yes, God bless. Well, so here are the specifics about that upcoming virtual speaker series put on by the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office. It's really all about surrendering to our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to take place June 26th and 27th. It's going to be virtual. It's going to be over Zoom. There will be praise and worship and inspiring talks by Bishop Peter Smith, who we just heard from, and also Jim Murphy. For more information and registration, there's information up in a number of different areas, but quite frankly, I think you can just pop over to archspm.org/events. I know it's up on there, so you can get some more information about attending and how to register for that virtual speaker series put on by the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office July 26th and 27th, right over at archspm.org/events. All right, we're going to head into a final break here. And as we go, just grateful that you can stay with us, but don't go away, because when we come back, Paul and I have a number of local events that can help you turn more of your life over to the Lord. Be right back.
The Inner Life.
Father Joseph Johnson.
You know, prayer too often is part of what I call vending machine spirituality. You know, I insert my prayer. I'm going to say a rosary. I push the button. This is the favor I want. And then I wait for it to come out. And when it doesn't come out, what do we know? If I put in my dollar to the vending machine, I push the button for the candy bar I want, and the candy bar doesn't appear in the tray, something's wrong with the machine. I go away mad. I'm never going back to that vending machine. And I'm going to tell all of my friends, don't ever go over to that vending machine.
The machine ain't my dollar.
And that's how we treat God. But what we have to be able to do is see, God is not a vending machine. God is a loving Father. And he's not saying no. He's saying, your eyesight is limited. But I, your eternal Father, see 2020, and there's something better I want for you because I love you so much.
Our Catholic priests are here to help.
The Inner Life, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. I want to invite you to stay connected with this show and help make the program better and better. For quick links to podcasted past interviews, all of our social media platforms, including Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and to suggest a guest or topic, visit practicingcatholicshow.com.
Stay up to date with the Archdiocesan Synod. Enrich your faith with the Praying with Scripture series and the Synod at Home series. Experience healing with the Healing and Hope Retreat. Get a jump on Synod small groups coming up this fall. All of these and more are available at archspm.org/synod.
All right, young adults, were you intrigued by what you heard on the show today about the Frassati Society of Minnesota? I mean, I sure was, but I'm not really a young adult anymore.
Why not? Neither of us qualify anymore.
Yeah, Patrick. I don't think so. Why not join them in that trip they were talking about to the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, July 30th through August 7th? You can expect a rigorous paddle in and paddle out, scenic conifer forest, beautiful sunsets, campfires and hammocks, quirky wildlife, probably amongst the participants as well. 50, I'm sorry, I just threw that in on
indeed.
My own. 50-pound plus packs, teamwork, plenty of adventure, and exciting tales and pictures to treasure forever. For more information and registration, here's what you need to do. You need to go to the Frassati Society of Minnesota's Facebook page. That's a good way to get up to date on that.
Also featured on the show today, still some time for teens entering 8th grade and older and parish youth groups to register for the 2021 Catholic Heart Work Camp in Victoria, July 18th through 24th, based at Holy Family Catholic High School. Give a week of your summer vacation to grow in faith, love, and charity, and build friendships that will endure forever. More information and registration is available at heartworkcamp.com.
Yep, there it is. Well, Paul, we might as well make it a trifecta of things talked about on the show today, huh?
Why not?
All right, here's that information about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office virtual speaker series coming up. It is, again, July 26th and 27th. It'll be over Zoom, and it's all focused on surrendering to our Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be praise and worship and inspiring talks by Bishop Peter Smith, who we heard from on the show today, and also from Jim Murphy. For more information and registration, stop by archsbm.org/events.
All Catholics are welcome at the Catholic United Financial Leadership Conference. It's coming up August 7th and 8th at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. This enriching weekend includes multiple keynote speakers, meals, masses, social events, daily activities to bring us all together and sharpen our leadership skills. No cost to attend. For more information, visit CatholicUnited.org. That's okay. All one word, CatholicUnited.org.
Yeah, and I got to throw in there, I've been hesitant to say so, but because it might be more of a deterrent than an attraction, but yours truly is one of those keynote speakers. I'm not really a keynote, but I will be doing a presentation there at the Catholic United Financial Leadership Conference on some of my called and gifted stuff. So
I'll have to think about that then.
Yeah, it's not a thing that's just for Catholic United Financial folks. It's, as you said, Paul, it's for all Catholics. So,
right.
Yep, come on by. And also, all Catholics plan now to join Archbishop Hebda for the 2021 Leading with Faith Awards Mass and Celebration. That's going to be Wednesday, August 11th at 1 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Every year, the Catholic Spirit celebrates executives, owners, and other leaders of secular businesses who show Christ-centered leadership in times of plenitude and in times of stress. For further details, registration, and a list of this year's honorees, visit archsbm.org/events.
Do you follow Practicing Catholic on social media? Like and follow us and share a few of our posts on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. For links to these as well as past interviews, visit practicingcatholicshow.com.
That's right, practicingcatholicshow.com. It's all there under one roof, as we like to say.
A one-stop shop.
Yeah, very good. And Paul, you just got back from the Black Hills.
Talk about finding the Lord in nature.
Yeah,
gorgeous out there. Yeah, and visited three parishes along the way, and all diverse, all rural, all faith-filled.
Yeah, wonderful. And it's the rural small church. I mean, it does have quite the draw, and sometimes you can encounter the Lord pretty powerfully there as well.
Oh, indeed. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, you know what? We got another show coming up next week. Next time on Practicing Catholic, Bishop Cousins is back with his monthly bishop segment to shed some light on the world of natural family planning and how it upholds the dignity of spouses in marriage. Also, in light of NFP Awareness Week, Bridget Busacker is back to explain more about just what NFP is and what it's not. And are you or somebody you love struggling with marriage? Mike and Ann Cerny of Retrovi Twin Cities will be joining us to share about the upcoming retreats happening this year as a way to strengthen and repair your marriage. In the meantime, folks, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.